Hello, and welcome to Release Your Wings. I'd like to start off with a little quote from Albert Einstein that is going to pretty much touch on our topic, which is intuition. He was pretty brainy, as you know. Einstein said, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We've created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift." I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha.
Hello, Dan. That's a beautiful quote.
Isn't it great? I love Einstein on stuff like this. And intuition is our topic. So this intuition, we normally think of it as the antithesis of being intelligent. It's the reason Einstein was so important to me. How do you view intuition? I know you use it a lot.
They're apples and oranges. It's a totally different aspect of your life. You can't always ration and reason and stuff. When you really take intuition, it is something that you do because of a very instinctive gift or instinctive something in you that tells you, a gut that tells you this is what you have to do. And so after the fact, you can ration from intuition, but you can not ration to intuition.
Nice.
And so it's there, but it's not, I mean, it's both of them are important. But,
absolutely. But one is the servant and the other is the master.
And there are times when you need intuition and you need to use it, and there are times when you need to rationalize, and that's when you need to use that.
A good friend of mine over many years, George Land, who's long time retired now, but he is a general systems thinker and somewhat of a philosopher. Years ago, he wrote the book Grow or Die. And I can remember a conversation. He said, if you talk to any theoretical physicist, any great scientist that had a breakthrough, his expression was, after a few drinks, he'll tell you the truth. And that is, it came as a flash of insight. And later on, he went back and proved it with review of the literature and actual experiments.
He always rationalized.
The rational mind comes in to scientifically, because I can tell you, as a former professor, I look for the scientific research, and let's look at your methodology, but that doesn't mean that that flash of insight did not come from a different spot, a different place.
Yeah. I would say most of my decisions in life are intuition.
And then you figure out how you're going to make them happen.
You know, for example, of becoming a BK, or it's not like there was a billboard that said you have to do this, or I rationed for 2 years and then I thought I'll do it. It was something that I intuitively felt I should do. And now, looking back, I can rationalize and say it was the best decision, but at that point, it was a point of intuition. It was something intuitive that I did.
So that's a huge one in how you trusted your intuition. Can you give me a day-to-day one that's popped up? I'm putting you on the spot now. You didn't know that was coming.
No, it's all right. With my health. You know what I have to do with my health. Because I had many options, and the option I picked, I decided, and that was also intuition. I really sat in silence, and I'm going to India soon again to go visit the 103 or 104 year old monk that I go to take my medicine.
I would trust him. He's made it a long time.
Right. He's really wonderful. It's intuition. Even to go now, you know, because it's a very arduous journey up the Himalayan mountains, I felt it's intuition. I have to do this.
Is that cool? I'm going to the Himalayas.
It's not that cool if you've been there. It's cool a lot.
The monk, the 103-year-old monk on the mountain who gave me, what helped me in through my cancer and put me into remission. I love that. By the way, that is truly trusting your intuitive self. All kidding aside on that. That is truly taking, because you're betting your life on what you believe, what your spiritual self is speaking to you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it does. It does. I even this time when I'm going, I really had to sit. Last time also, I sat in silence for a long time to really hear what I have to do. You know, sat with God and, you know, the best treatment for me.
Yeah, you know, I I've been surprised occasionally when some little intuitive flash happens randomly. And sometimes before I can think about it, which is the best time. I was thinking about this on a day-to-day thing, and a few years back, I was in my office. A student stopped in with what often, this was a class of 60, I think, and she said, "Oh, Dr. Bagley, I came in late. I just came in to apologize." A student whose name I could not have told you at the time. I recognized her as someone in the class. I certainly didn't see her come in late. "I'm just sorry, I got stuck in the medical clinic. You know how long that takes sometimes to get checked out." And she's bubbly and happy, and I look at her, and I hear myself say, "I had a biopsy last week." I mean, I am shocked. I promise you, I never share medical stories with my students. But it came out, "I had a biopsy last week," and she burst into tears. And as she did that, I said, "Sit down, we need to talk." And as she just sobbed, she'd had a biopsy. She was afraid she had ovarian cancer. Her mom had died of ovarian cancer. And I'm just going, why did I'd had a little skin cancer thing. I mean, it was nothing, but it came out, and I'm thinking, why did that, those words, I mean, she had
you intuitively knew you had to reach out.
There was nothing conscious about it. I heard the words when she did. Sometimes our intuition speaks to us. We don't, I think in listening, we have to quiet the rational mind. You talk about sitting in silence. The silence isn't turning off the radio, it is turning off the mind.
Yeah, turning off the mind. And also, you have to practice listening to your conscience.
Yeah.
And conscience and intuition really are connected.
Yeah.
And so, and also I feel if the lens is clear, the conscience is clear, then you see clearly. If the conscience is murky or muddy, then you don't see clearly. Your intuition doesn't work as well. I think we all have the power of intuition. Each one of us has the power of intuition, but we have to work with it in the right way.
So let me put it in a closer lay term analogy then. If we're carrying a lot of baggage with ourselves and trying to get that direct communication, the baggage gets in the way.
Right.
I'm treating someone badly, I'm not being honest at work, or something like that, then that's where the conscience, a clear conscience, opens the pathway of sort. Is
mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that two things that really help is to be very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
For intuition, you can't be gross, you have to be subtle, you have to learn to be subtle, you have to learn to hear very subtle signals from yourself, and you have to be free.
Uh-huh. So the freedom, you elaborate on that. I know what I think you're talking about, but please help everyone else.
Free from the vices.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times if we intuit from the vices, because of my greed, then desperation makes me do things which I pass off as intuition.
I started making a little list this week as I'm thinking about this topic. And on the list, I started playing with the idea of what gets in the way of intuition. And interestingly enough, wanting something very badly was at the top of that list, and that led to attachment was part of that list. And that meant, and then it got into self-image. I should want this. I mean, the list was getting unfun as I ran through it. But I think that's really it. If we're wanting things selfishly, there's a piece of us that says this is greedy and grabby and all, that's got to
be louder. Because many times I've known, let's say, women make really bad decisions about relationships, and they say, "Oh, my heart said so." And I said, "No, your desperation said so."
Ah, yeah, boy, you're a harsh one, aren't you? But that's absolutely true. My addiction said it. My intuition said it was time to go off my diet or to have that drink or whatever it is that the person is trapped with.
Right, right.
But that's that want. That's that ego part, which then leads to the question is, does the ego get in the way of our intuitive self?
Yeah, actually, that's a good one. Yes, definitely. But it could be any of the vices, right?
It could be.
It could be greed, it could be attachment like you were talking about, it could be ego.
Fear.
It could be laziness.
Yeah.
laziness actually gets in the way of intuition a lot because I'm not willing to work for something and I want this and I say, oh, but my intuition says so, but it's actually your laziness talking.
Yes.
And so all of those could get in the way. But I feel maybe, I don't know, is that your experience, ego more than others?
Yeah, I think the ego, the little I, the small I that says, I want. Not the larger I that, as David Hawkins calls it, the I of the capital I, that is closer connected to the grander picture, the spiritual self. I think those little things get in the way. So we've got tells with that. I mean, that lets us know we're doing it. Any time that we want intuition or insight into how to get back at someone, we know we're locked in ego. How to get back is never something that God
wants. Intuition talks about.
That's not intuition, that's addiction.
Yeah, it's a really important. Intuition works when you have pure intentions.
Exactly.
And
how can it be important on stage?
Yeah, it has to be. The intention has to be very pure. That's like being the basis, the foundation for intuition.
So lest we say you have to be a saint to have intuitive input, there's got to be some shortcuts of how we calm ourselves in the moment, how we let go of attachments, at least in the moment. It may take years of practice or weeks of practice, but I'm guessing that getting quiet on a regular basis.
Right. I feel that intuition, like any other power within the self, is an acquired, it's a trained practice. It's not that some people are born with it and some people are not, that we can all train ourselves. And like training ourselves, it requires time. You have
Absolutely.
To put some time into it. You have to put some time into cleaning your conscience, cleaning the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the mirror is distorted, then you're not able to see yourself clearly. You're not able to see what is it that you need to do very clearly. Cleaning that lens is very important. The other aspect that I would feel is very important is we all are looking for happiness and peace. And
yes.
We have to acknowledge that I deserve to be happy. I deserve to be peaceful.
Ooh, I like that.
And I'm going to work towards them. I don't need to feel ashamed about them. I don't need to, give excuses for it. I am going to be happy. And actually, it has to be a regular pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, happiness has to be like everyday pursuit.
Yeah.
I am going to be happy today. I'm going to pick something to be happy today.
You know, I'm going to play with this idea that I've read somewhere else. It's not my idea, that we were born happy and we have gotten so many attachments along the way that they get in our way. We start saying, well, I'll be more happy if I get a new car or, these types of things. It popped in my head while you were talking that if we're born happy, maybe it's time for us to have a relapse. To come back and say, oh yeah, and which brings back that metaphor of the clutter in the hall and the conversation with God or intuition or all there is, and that might be the less of the ego stuff, the less of the external desires we have, the better that reaching forth and having that open-hearted flow of information come in is the ultimate thing, that we were born pure and we've just got to clean off that communication pattern.
Right. I was thinking that many of us get into a mundane rut.
Yeah.
Right, I go to work or whatever I work, I do this, I do that. And I feel we do very little, that there should be something in the day that we do for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
that would really make us happy. Something in the day that would clean the mirror.
Right.
Just one little thing, and take, even if it's 5 minutes, to do something that would really give joy. And I feel that really helps.
It might be having that delicious small helping of something. It might be helping someone we love. It might just be getting quiet and appreciating. Thank you, Sheree.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you for joining us.